Hey, and welcome to our first little Q&A of the PCOS Nutritionist podcast. So if we haven't met yet, my name's Claire. I'm a registered nutritionist and I have a degree in exercise science as well. And I focus solely on PCOS because I have it too and I know how horrible some of the symptoms are. So this is our first Q&A podcast. So normally we do the long form podcast, but we thought that now we'll start doing one which is just an answer to your question and follow up to the podcast for this week. This week we did a podcast all about abnormal hair growth, or as it's known in the medical world, hirsutism. And I put out on my Instagram stories a little question box to ask, say, hey, what's your questions about from the podcast after you'd listened to it? What are still your burning questions? And the question that we've picked out from this week is from Eva. And Eva is asking actually a really good question, which I didn't even think to kind of answer on that podcast. Although, to be fair, the podcast was already over an hour long, so I think that would just have made it just way too long. But she said, okay, good to know about all of those treatments for the long term, but in the meantime, I've still got to remove my hair. What's the best way to do that? Shaving, waxing, IPL, etc. So again, very, very good question. So what we can look at is there's kind of two ways to look at all the different hair removal techniques. One is just sort of like the short term, and one is the long term. So in the short term, we'd consider shaving, waxing, plucking, and threading would all be short term measures. Okay. And these are all just variations of the same thing, mechanically removing the hair. Waxing, plucking, and threading particularly are just exactly the same thing. What they are doing is that they are removing the hair from the follicle. And what this means is that it's not really a treatment. So mechanically removing the hair doesn't kill the hair over the long term. It's really just like shaving, but it takes longer to grow back. So obviously shaving is just cutting the hair at skin level. So it's not actually removing it at the follicle, which is why if you shave, it'll grow back much quicker than say threading or waxing or plucking. Okay, so you might have been told that if you pluck or wax enough, the hair eventually stops growing back. However, there's actually no evidence to support that. In actual fact, what it does is it actually damages the hair shaft, so you are more likely to get ingrown hairs is what I was meant to say. So for those of you that have had bikini waxes over a number of years, we'll be all too familiar with ingrown hairs and just how painful and horrible they are. So I would say that, I guess for a lot of people, it just comes down to personal preference. There is the shaving is obviously the other one, or like chemical removal of the hair. So if you like, I don't know if you have used that Veet stuff where it's basically you put the cream on and then you use the use like a little sort of paddle thing to remove it, and what that's doing is that's just using a chemical to dissolve the hair, so it's very similar to shaving. Doesn't actually get it at a follicle level, so that'll grow back at a similar rate to what shaving would. And I guess for a lot of people too, it depends on how severe the hair growth is, how fast it's growing at the moment. For many of you, you won't want to leave it for long enough to do waxing or threading or plucking either. So if that's the case, then shaving's probably the only other option to you if you don't want to leave it long enough. If you have listened to that and going, well, actually, I don't want to damage the hair shaft and more likely to get ingrown hairs. Or vice versa, on the other side, I have worked with a lot of women who have had, who have waxed their hair growth for a long time, and they find that that really works for them. Their hair doesn't grow particularly quickly. It's a lot finer. They would much prefer to let it grow for a few days and wax it than what they would having to shave it every single day. So I think that one really comes down to personal preference. probably trying different methods and seeing what works for you. Apart from the damaging the hair shaft and more likely to be getting ingrown hairs, there's no real risk in terms of both of those. And there's just obviously the pros and cons. So the pros of shaving being that it's, you don't have to leave it for to grow, it's immediate, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't damage the hair shaft at all. But the con being that you're more likely to get razor burn, you have to do it more frequently, and so a lot of people don't like to do that. The other way to remove hair is the permanent removal technique. So this is IPL and laser and electrolysis. So first we have IPL and laser, and these work essentially in the same way. So what they do is they use light to kill the follicle, the hair follicle at the root, to stop it from growing again. So they're slightly different. IPL uses pulsed light to do this, while laser uses a concentrated beam of light. Okay. Then we have electrolysis. So electrolysis, first go back to that IPL and laser. So what they do is they can do that because they're using light. They can do a relatively large section at a time. If you've had this before, especially if you've had this done previously on your bikini line or your underarms or something like that, you'll know that it is generally a circle, probably about like 2 or 3 centimeters diameter, probably more like 2 centimeters diameter. And so you've got like that amount of space that you kind of, or that amount of flesh that you're doing at one point in time. So it doesn't take too long to do an area. It's also not particularly painful, is another good thing. And many of you that have had this done on other parts of your body will know this. Whereas electrolysis is a different form of hair removal. So electrolysis is a method of removing individual hairs from the face or body. And so what it does is it destroys the growth center of the hair, so which is the hair follicle. It does that with chemical or heat energy, and then the hair is removed with tweezers. So generally what this means is that this has to be done sort of on an individual hair basis, so it takes much longer, which means that it can take much longer. It can be a lot more expensive than IPL or laser. I think from what I've read, the new methods don't cause a lot of pain as much as what they used to, but it still can hurt. And in some cases, they will give you an anesthetic cream. Okay, so that used to be because of the gold standard for permanent hair removal when it came to PCOS. But more recent studies, I think the technology of IPL and laser have increased over the last few years. And new studies have shown that laser hair removal is as effective, if not possibly more effective, in removing hair over the long term. So that is, you know, that's how it works. I think the hard thing is that there has to be, when it comes to laser, there has to be some contrast in your skin color and your hair color, because the way it works is by using light to selectively kill the hair follicle without damaging your tissue around it. So it needs to be able to identify what the hair follicle is, which is why it needs some contrast, for the light wavelength to select what it's going to kill. So the studies for that reason, it might not be relevant for all people, but where it is, so where you have, you know, where it probably works best is where you have fairer skin and darker hair, which tends to be for a lot of fair skin people, if they are getting darker hair, that is what they want to be, killing anyway. So that works for them. But I'm not quite sure how it would work on a darker skin person. So you're best to talk to your beautician, your laser hair removal specialist, about that and whether that's going to work for you. So in terms of what the research shows, so their studies on women with hirsutism have shown that laser hair removal can be really effective. So one study which took 30 women, so again, it wasn't a huge study. Unfortunately, when it comes to a lot of these studies, remembering that people still got to have someone that funds this, and unless it's like a company with a lot of money, like a drug company, often there has to be, they're quite small sizes. So anyway, they took, I mean, it's not like two people, 30 was still okay. So they took 30 women with hirsutism and treated them with, they either, you know, split them out into two groups. One was IPL and one was the laser. So when we talk about laser, the name for that is, the abbreviation is LPDL, okay? So they split them into two groups and to try and see what worked best. So both were really effective. The IPL was slightly more effective. So that was, they found that that reduced hair count. So what they did was they basically got a patch of skin and they, you know, counted how many hair follicles were there. And then they treated them over the course of 6 months. And then at the end, they took that same patch and they counted how many hairs were there. And they found that IPL reduced hair count by up to 77%, and the laser LDPL, yeah, I did get it right. Sorry, I thought that I was just reading that wrong. That reduced it by 68% after 6 months. Okay. So, but what they also found was that if the underlying cause of the hirsutism, like the excess testosterone, wasn't treated, the hairs have shown to grow back after 6 months. What this means is it's not the hair that they killed that grew back after 6 months, but it was like the follicles next door that started then to sprout hairs. So if you remember from the podcast earlier in the week, I talked about how basically testosterone and insulin get in and they flick the switch on those little fine hairs that we've got covering our body. So they're currently on our jawline and our chin and on our chest and back, etc., all those areas where males would tend to grow dark hairs. That's also the case for us. We have the hairs there. They might just be really, really fine at the moment. And so what testosterone and insulin do is they get in and they flick the switch on those hairs and turn them from fine hair into dark, long hairs. Okay, so if you imagine you've got a patch of like 10 hairs and you have, there was three hairs that had been turned into those dark hairs and seven of them were still the little fine ones. You kill off the three that were already the dark hairs. In those seven, right beside it, maybe like three or four might now sprout to be dark terminal hairs. And so it will look like it hasn't had any effect, even though it has, and it's permanently killed those original three, but it's just now that you've had more sprout. Okay, so this is why you hear of women who have paid hundreds and even thousands of dollars on laser hair removal, only for it to, in their words, grow back. That's not actually the case. It's not growing back. It's just the hairs right beside that are growing back, which gives the illusion of the hair growing back. So this is the case when there is still that excess testosterone and insulin. It'll still stimulate more follicles to develop here. So what I would say is that to save you guys money, my approach would always be to use the mechanical methods like the waxing and plucking or threading or shaving in the interim while you kind of address that root cause. And addressing that root cause is what we talked about in the podcast earlier in the week. And that could mean a combination of lifestyle treatments once you understand what you're actually trying, what's actually going on in your body. So is it insulin, is it stress hormones, etc.? And then there's also medications that you can use as well. Hormonal birth control and spironolactone have both been shown to improve that hair growth too. So they are options. And as I mentioned in that podcast, it's just weighing up the pros and cons of those. So while you're addressing that root cause, using the waxing, plucking, threading, shaving, etc. And then once you have been, you know, doing that for maybe 6 months, it tends to be the amount of time we need to for testosterone, etc. to come down, is maybe then using the laser hair removal to kill the hair that was there originally. Because even if you address that root cause, it's not going to mean that those hairs that are there now will just fall out. Okay, that's not how it works. They won't just fall out. So you've got to also kill those. But it's just in terms of, like, if you're going to have other hairs that are going to grow in the next 6 months, you might as well kill all of those at the same time rather than spending thousands of dollars now and then having to do that again in 6 months' time. Of course, if if money's no object to you, then you're more than welcome to do it do it twice or three times or however long you need to do it. But just if you don't want to go investing a whole lot of money, if you don't know if it's going to work, then I would really recommend holding off on spending that money on laser and instead using the mechanical methods. And then once you've really, addressing that root cause, then spend your money on the laser to remove the hairs that are there. So I hope that helped Eva and anyone else that was wondering about the actual hair removal side. And we'll be back next week with another topic. So I can't wait to see you then. Now stand by for our disclaimer. The information contained in this podcast has been prepared for the purpose of providing information, including about the PCOS Nutritionist products and services, and is designed to support clients' overall wellness. It is not intended to provide medical advice or designed to rectify, treat, or cure any specific medical conditions or diseases. Nothing stated or shared in our podcast is intended to be and must not be taken to be medical advice. Please seek the advice of professionals as appropriate regarding the evaluation of any specific information, opinion, advice, or content contained in our podcast.